Today on Impact for Living, founder, sports and business leader, and pastor Scott Whitaker will challenge you to reach your God-given potential and impact, which you were created to have with and for Jesus Christ in the world. Now, here's Scott with today's message.
This morning, I want to read from the book of Romans and then a short passage out of the book of Exodus in the Old Testament. First, out of the book of Romans, chapter 1, the Apostle Paul, beginning at verse 21, tells us this. Yes, they knew God, but they wouldn't worship Him as God or even give Him thanks. And they began to think up foolish ideas of what God was like. As a result, their minds became dark and confused. Claiming to be wise, they instead became utter fools. And instead of worshiping the glorious, ever-living God, they worshiped idols made to look like mere people and birds and animals and reptiles. By the way, Paul is referring back to Old Testament Israelites and others then and what they did making idols. Verse 24, so God abandoned them to do whatever shameful things their hearts desired. As a result, they worshiped and served the things God created, instead of the Creator Himself, who is worthy of eternal praise. Amen, Paul says. Exodus 20, and this is the first commandment of what we know as the Ten Commandments. And God says this, beginning at verse 3, you must not have any other God but me. Verse 4, you must not make for yourself any idol of any kind or an image of anything in the heavens or on the earth or in the sea. You must not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God who will not tolerate your affection for any other gods. At the beginning of this year together, I mentioned that a few days before the new year began, I was reflecting on the past year, on what God had called me to do with Him and for Him, and all that He had planned ahead for me and for you in this year, this new year, 2018. You may remember that I came to the realization that this year, this 2018 year, was going to be our very best year ever. It tends to be my nature, though, to view life that way, to look at the glass as not just half full, but as always getting ready to flow over the edge. But adding to that personal nature, that personal view that I have, and actually having shaped and reinforced that personal approach through a number of life experiences and learning to lean into God and His Word more, we find it undergirded in the truth that God also always wants the best for us, wants an abundant life for us, and He is always actively at work planning that for our life, for my life and for yours. Periodically through this year, we have checked in with each other these Tuesday mornings with where we are in that journey, making sure that we stay aligned with Him as we move on into this year with Him together. Last week, we were rechecking our alignment with Him. We talked about the focal points of our lives and the focus of all of our moments and our days, and picking up on the excitement of the Major League Baseball playoffs, heading to the World Series, we looked at pitchers and the need for them to keep their focus in any game and for the long haul in their career to have a successful career. And picked up on a baseball analogy because, as those of you who know me best know, I love baseball. But pitchers need to be able to block out what went before and what is ahead. The guy standing in the on-deck circle who I don't want to pitch to, they need to focus, block him out. They need to block out all the expectations of others, whether realistic or not, to block out the past, any failures they may have had, and the future expectations of others, all of which would cause and would cause us and something else that we were doing to lose the focus on the moment and would ultimately keep them and keep us in whatever we're doing from being the best that we can be. We were reminded last week that our ultimate focal point, the focal point around which everything in our life should point, is our relationship with God, a focus which will bring us a joy in that relationship with the Lord, which will carry us through all our days, a focus which would direct, guide, and lift us through that relationship with the God of all creation to be able to go through, around, or over whatever we faced. Well, following up on that and reminding me of that absolute need for that focus of our lives, I read something the other day that I want to share with you. It seems that after the global economic crisis, which began in 2008, which many of us can remember, A tragic sequence of suicides occurred as the result of that crisis. Suicides of previously wealthy, well-respected, and connected individuals. The chief financial officer of Freddie Mac, the Federal Loan Mortgage Corporation, hanged himself in the basement of his home. The chief executive officer of Sheldon Good, a leading United States real estate auction firm, shot himself in the head, sitting behind the steering wheel of his beautiful, expensive red Jaguar automobile. A French money manager working with some of the wealthiest of Europe's royal and notable families lost over $1.4 billion of his client's money in one of Bernie Madoff's Ponzi schemes, and, unable to face his clients with that news of what happened, he slit his wrists and died in his New York City office, high above the glamour and the buzz of the city below. A senior executive with a large international bank hanged himself in a 500-pound-a-night suite in London, England. And when an executive with Bear Stearns learned that he would not be hired by J.P. Morgan Chase, which had bought the collapsed Bear Stearns firm, he took a drug overdose. And while still lucid enough to move around, he jumped to his death from the 29th story of his office building. Why? What happened that caused them to do what they did? Okay, they lost money. They lost their job. Their personal portfolios and client investment portfolios went down substantially in value. What else? What else was it that caused them to end their lives that way? Could it have been just that? And the short answer, sadly, is yes, just that. But where did the God of all creation go? Wasn't he there before the economy began to tank? Wasn't he still there during and after that economic roller coaster? And the short answer is yes, he was. But maybe they never knew him. Maybe they never got to know him or follow him or realize how much he loved them. Maybe the God of all creation wasn't their God. Maybe they didn't have a joy in their lives based upon a relationship with the Lord. Maybe they had been at a place in their lives like I was in mine years before, which I shared with you last week, where the troubles all around me had begun to drain all the joy from my life until my bride Linda confronted me and turned me back to the joy of the Lord. But maybe no one was there for them to turn them back, or maybe they just didn't know where to turn. Maybe they knew him, but at some point in their journey, their focus on the God of all creation was replaced by a focus on the God, small g, of money, the idol of wealth, or the counterfeit God, again, small g, an idol of success in business or sports, where the bottom line seems to be defined by dollars and wins rather than changed lives. Maybe the idol of needing and seeking affirmation and the approval of others gripped them, something they missed maybe as a child because they'd never had it before, or they never came to know, or they forgot the joy available to them with the God of all creation. Instead of the God of all creation, the focal point of their lives was the fake God, small g again, of stuff and money and other gods or idols which the world runs around all the time telling us are oh so important. And instead of the God of creation, those other things became their focal point. Maybe their God wasn't the God who in the passage from Exodus we read a minute ago said to us, "You must not have any other God but me." I mean, do you think he said that because he got a huge ego? Sure, he should. But that's not why he said it. He said it because he knows in that relationship we'll be the best we can be. And he loves us and cares for us. And then he goes on to say, you must not make for yourself any idol of any kind or an image of anything in the heavens or on the earth or in the sea. You must not bow down to them or worship them, for I am the Lord your God. But here's the truth, my friends. Anything can worm its way into our lives, into our hearts, and begin to serve and control us as a fake god, an idol, an alternative to the God of all creation. As Paul said in the passage from Romans that we read a minute ago, we begin to worship and serve the things God created rather than the Creator himself. And when it happens, and we begin to spend more time with those idols, to bow to them, to worship them, to follow them at all costs, and to allow them to stay there as the focal point of our lives, it always, listen to me, it always leads to disappointment, to dysfunction, to wanting more and more, and ultimately to unfulfilled lives, to despair and destruction. Always. An idol, a fake or a counterfeit god, is anything which is more important to you and me than God himself. An idol is anything that absorbs our hearts and imaginations more than God, more than Christ, and from which we seek to get what only God ultimately can give you and me. I wonder if you or I have any of those things, idols, fake or counterfeit gods in our lives. We may not admit it. We may not know it. We may not realize that we have any idols in our lives. But I wonder if we asked others who are watching us as we live our lives, others who are close to us at home, at the office, or out in the world that we are in all the time, I wonder what they would say. Well, it's something we're going to talk about a bit more again, and just something for us to think about today and every day of our lives. Let me pray for us. Father, I thank you for my friends. And you know what? I thank you for this message, kind of a heavy one today, but you know, one that you know, obviously, Lord, I needed to hear worse than anybody else. So if everybody's hung up, hangs up, I need to keep going because I needed to hear it, and you knew that. Thank you for that. But more than that, thank you that you're there. Thank you that you are my God, that you are the God of all creation, and that no matter what I do and where I go and the side streets I take, that you are there waiting for me, following me, pursuing me, and will always be there for me to move forward with in life. Thank you for that. Thank you for your son, and it's in his precious name we pray. Amen and amen.
We hope that Scott's message today has challenged and encouraged you. Thank you for being with us, and be sure to join Scott and Impact for Living next week for another faith-filled message focused on God's plan and purpose for your life.